Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your great and mighty spirit with which you have loved us. We thank you for your spirit that is here with us today. Father, we thank you for that same spirit that indwells us. Thank you. And Lord, as we get into your word again today, we pray, Lord, for revelation knowledge, that by your spirit and by your help, each and every one of us, our hearts will be opened to see your word, to hear and understand and comprehend in the name of Jesus. We pray that there's no confusion, there's no distraction, no, in the name of Jesus. But there is the value of your presence. Each and every one of us, we get it and we hold on to it in the name of Jesus. We give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to start a new topic, you know, a new discussion from God's word today, filled with the Spirit. I just want us to examine God's word. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's start from verse 15. Ephesians 5:15. We're going to read up until about 18. Please pay attention. Let's get into God's word now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. So it says, seeing then that you walk circumspectly. All right. I'm going to ask what you think this is. Okay. Seeing then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. All right. Now look at it. It says, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. He says in verse 18, he says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which there is dissipation. The last bit there talks about the fact, the point of our discussion over the next couple of weeks. He says, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, this no doubt is a set of instruction, all right, or instructions to the church in Ephesus, all right, and some couple of instructions there that we can learn from, that we can you know, understand God's word from, all right, things that we can practice. Praise God. Now, I want us to begin to pay attention. Now, if I give you an instruction, or when we receive instructions, it means that we can do something about those instructions. So if I say, see then that you walk circumspectly, it means that I'm telling you, I'm giving you an instruction to be, that word circumspect, it means to be careful. It means that I know you can be careful. All right? So you can do something about it. So when I say, see then that you walk circumspectly, the responsibility is not on me in that sense. The responsibility is on you, meaning that you can do something about it. All right? That's what we do with instructions. When I give you an instruction, you say, you know, get me a cup of water or something. Now, if I'm giving Zephan, get me a cup of water, okay. Maybe not now, okay? Maybe not now. All right, because I know he doesn't have the capacity to fulfill that instruction. All right, so when Paul, please pay attention, we're going to put all of this together. When Paul gives an instruction here, or gave the instruction here to the church in Ephesus, all right, and we've seen the set of instructions, but he told them particularly, pay attention, friends, that they should be filled with the Spirit. It means that the prerogative, the responsibility, all right, is on those that are Paul, or on the recipient, let's put it better now, all right, of the instruction. Hallelujah. Now, that brings up another conversation to say that, are they hearing, are they being filled with the Spirit for the first time? All right? Now, let's get this. Because Paul is telling them to be filled. But then, maybe before the question, let's go back to their history. So that we can see that this church in Ephesus, this wouldn't be their first encounter or their first instruction about the Spirit of God. All right? Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, verse 1 to 6. We're just going to read maybe in two verses, and we just bring out the point there. Acts chapter 19, verse 1 to 6. Let's do 2-2 so that it's not too tiny. Thank you. All right. Look at it. And it happened while Apollos... what we're about to read is the history of that church, Ephesus. All right? And we are trying to trace how they started. All right? And what led us there is the fact that that's the instruction, because Paul will later write a letter to them that they should be filled with the Spirit. And we are saying that instruction is not the first time, not their first introduction to the subject of the Spirit of God. All right? That's what we said. We now say, let's read their story. Let's confirm that from God's word. All right? And this will be the beginning. Paul started that church in Ephesus. We want to read about them now. Okay? And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, and Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. All right? So Paul will land in Ephesus for the first time. Right? And finding some disciples, he said to them, Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, now, at least for the very first time, their very first, Paul's first meeting, first encounter with them, it's about the Holy Spirit. It's about, do you know about the Holy Spirit? Have you heard about the Holy Spirit before? All right? So that instruction, we're going back to Ephesians chapter 5, all right? That instruction is not the first time, all right? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is such as a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, unto what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. We're going to come back there later. 4 and 5, please. Verse 4 and 5. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ. Let's distract ourselves a little bit. John actually talked about Christ. Okay. So John baptism, people that are preaching it, didn't preach it well. Because if they have preached it well, they will have preached that John actually said Jesus Christ was coming, and that's the person that you believe. So it won't stop with just John's baptism. All right? We'll come back to that one later on. That's not the focus today. Now, when they had this, they were baptized, not in water. They were baptized in the name of Jesus. In other words, they believed in Jesus. Don't forget the story, all right? They've been baptized. Of course, if they've believed, John, they must have been baptized with water, all right? But down here, it says they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Okay, let's go. That's not the point today. We're going to talk about baptism and all of those ones later on, all right? Now, verse 6. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. We're going to talk about that again. And they spoke with tongues and prophesied. All right? So, look at that point. So, at the very onset of the church in Ephesus, they knew about the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues. All right? They prophesied. All right? Paul, for the next 2.5 years or so, we now teach them, must have taught them about the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, this is not their first introduction to the subject of the Spirit of God. All right? Because Paul will later write another letter that we are reading in Ephesus. Sorry, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. That will be years later. That will be a space of time. right? We don't know the number of years, but that will be a space of time at another time, giving them instruction, having reminded them in chapter 1 about their inheritance in Christ Jesus, in chapter 2 about how we've been raised with Christ Jesus, in chapter 3 about how God gave him revelation and that by reading it they will understand, in chapter 4 how you know he talked about family. He gave them several instructions how you know we should do as believers. Now in chapter 5, chapter 6 was when he talked about family. Chapter 4 was how we should deal with ourselves, which you put on Christ and all of those. Now chapter. Now in chapter 5, we now begin to give them sets of instruction of which we've read, all right, that they should be filled with the Spirit, giving them that responsibility to be filled with the Spirit of God. And notice, let me just add that, he was talking to believers, all right? At the point when Paul was writing the letter to Ephesians church, he was talking to believers. So these ones are believers. They are Holy Spirit, they know about the Holy Spirit. They can speak in tongues. They flow already in the Holy Spirit. The subject of the Spirit is not new to them. Hallelujah. So then, when Paul wrote that letter, be filled with the Spirit, like we said, is not introducing the Holy Spirit to them for the first time. So this shows something that we now need to critically understand. Is it another Spirit? Is it the same Spirit? All right? That's what we want to look at today. Being filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, let's pack that somewhere. We're going to bring it on later on. Let me say this to us. There's nobody who is a believer that has believed in Christ Jesus, all right, who doesn't have the Spirit of God in him or her already. All right? So, because I'm going to tell you to be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit? What do you mean? Do you mean I don't have the Spirit already? Am I not filled with the Spirit? Well, there is nobody, and that's what I just want us to establish that again. We've done it before, but again, the purpose of the teaching of God's word is to remind ourselves, one, to convince ourselves, persuade ourselves even better. The more we talk about these things, the better it gets in our heart. Every believer definitely is indwelt by the Spirit of God. Every believer. Please, can we say together, I am indwelt by the Spirit of God. Maybe I've asked us to say that too early. Let's read some scriptures to persuade ourselves. Then we'll say it again. Hallelujah. John chapter 3, verse 3 to 5. John chapter 3, verse 3 to 5. Okay, let's do it. Jesus answered and said to him. So that's Nicodemus. We all know that story. Nicodemus met Jesus Christ and the conversation began. All right? So Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, pay attention, let's look at it together, all right? He says he cannot see the kingdom of God. So it means to see the kingdom of God, to be part of the kingdom of God, you must be born again, right? That's what it means, okay? Verse 4, Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can a man, a grown-up man like myself, be born when he's old? can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? He didn't get it. All right. Now, in verse 6, please, Jesus will now explain to him what he meant. All right. Look at it. Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one, pay attention now. Now, notice what Jesus said earlier about him being born again is not different. He just clarified what he said, all right? So Jesus answered and said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I've seen some people, to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. But to enter the kingdom of God, it's the same thought, okay? It's not like that. We said many times, all right, you see the word and here, the way we use it in the English language is not a conjunction, adding two words together, like Danian and Covey, all right? That's different. So those are two different personalities. We have words like that, all right? But when I say Danian and the husband, of Mikisha. I've not said two different things. All right? I've just described who Danian is. So it's like Danian and the husband. I'm not saying Danian is different from the husband of Mikisha. All right? Praise God. All right? So that's that word there, Kai, or K. You know, it's K-A-I. All right? So when it says, except a man is born of water, that is, which is what I mean by water. Of course, we're going to touch that in this series as well, that the usage of water in the Old Testament, you know, by Ezekiel, by Jeremiah, all of the prophets of the old times, the water connotes the spirit. All right? So they know water very well. All right? So except a man is born of water, but that water, actually, the essence of that water is the spirit. It cannot enter the kingdom of God. So what he's saying is that, so are we good then to say, unless a man is born of the spirit, can we read that without the water? All right? So here he's not talking about water baptism again. All right? That unless you are, that's not true. Okay? Praise God. Now, so except a man is born of the water, of water, and of the spirit, all right, it says he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Praise God. Now, so it tells us, therefore, that our introduction, our coming to the kingdom of God is what? Is by the Spirit of God. Can we agree on that quickly? Does that make sense? All right, praise God. So the very first entrance, the very first, what brought us to be, what gave us life into the kingdom of God is the Spirit of God. All right? So it's like saying that, oh, I'm alive, but I can't breathe. No. The fact that we are alive, all right, the very moment we start to breathe is the very moment we, well, scientifically, but what, you get what I mean? On this earth, not in mother's womb, but the moment you are giving birth, you begin to breathe. Otherwise, you are not alive. Hallelujah. All right? Praise God. So the very entrance, introduction to the kingdom of God was brought about by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Let's see some more scriptures. John 16, 7 and 8. John 16, 7 and 8. I just want us to read some scriptures, you know, because we are going to tell ourselves to be filled with the Spirit. And we said that instruction is our prerogative, is reliant on us, is dependent on us. Hallelujah. John 16, 7 and 8. Look at this. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. All right? So Jesus said, I will send him to you. Now, verse 8 is what I want to, again, just to buttress what we've read in John. It was John that pointed this out to us, you know, very often. Paul did as well. We're going to read it. All right? And when he has come, talking about the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So the Holy Spirit has got the job to convict. Now that word convict there, all right, is not like when you convict a criminal, all right, when you condemn a prisoner, no, or an offender, no, all right. What he's saying is that word is more of convince, persuade, all right. He will present evidence. All right, it's a conviction, really, but then it's more of persuasion. All right, so all of us, all right, now that have believed, the Holy Spirit convinced us, persuaded us. Again, whose job is it to convince? The Holy Spirit does that. Hallelujah. Now, I've got some more scriptures to read about the fact that your entrance into the kingdom of the Father, all right, was brought about by the Holy Spirit. And by doing so, you have the Holy Spirit resident in you already. All right? We're going to do that before we even consider the fact that we should be filled with that Spirit. That's where we're going today. I better check my time quickly. All right, praise God. Let's read some more. We're going to read some scriptures about this. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. John 14, 16 and 17. Okay. And I will pray the Father. Again, who is praying the Father here? Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. KJV calls it another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. That he may abide with you forever. Now, let's draw a lesson there. How long is that spirit abiding with the recipient? Forever. Okay. It's important for us to stress that. Now, he says, that helper is the Spirit of Truth. Again, calling out the actor there, all right, that helper is the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. He says, but you know him. Hallelujah. All right. He says, but you know him, for he dwells. Oh, look at that. Where is he dwelling? He dwells with you and will be in you. So where will the Spirit be, friends? He will be in the believer. All right. The Holy Spirit, upon coming to Christ, all right, upon believing, all right, abides, right, we've read it, abides with the believer forever, indwells the believer forever. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Amen and amen. Verse 23. Let's read verse 23 of that same chapter. I just want us to see some truth so that without any doubt, all right, without, we know that this, we are indwelled, all right, by the Spirit of God. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. All right? So by keeping my word, if anyone loves me, if anyone believes me, he will obey my word. He will keep my word. And when we obey the word, what happens? Look at the resultant effect of that believing, obedience, loving. He says, and my Father will love him. All right? And what happens after that? And we, now, we, all right, will come to him and make our home with him. All right? KJV says, and we'll make our abode with him. All right? So I want us to know, we're still going to read some more scriptures. I want us to know without any iota of doubt, all right, that the Spirit of God is with the believer. Not temporarily, not occasionally, not, you know, not with feelings, not with emotions. All right? It's not dependent on us. It is dependent on God's word, on the efficacy, the authenticity of God's word, that the Spirit of God is with the believer. So you might not feel it. Meaning you won't know it. You may not know it all the time. But what makes us confident, what gives us the assurance that the Spirit of God dwells with the believer is God's word. Not even because we are saying it today. All right? It's because God's word said it. And that is the basis, that's the foundation we are building on. That he said, that Spirit abides with us forever. With the pressure, without the pressure, when it's high, when it's low, the Spirit of God abides with the believer. We need to just make some more progress today. We're still reading scriptures on that point. Let's read 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians again, chapter 12. Verse 1 to 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Now concerning spirituals, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know what you were, Gentiles. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Now pay attention. See what John, see again, talking about believing the gospel, obedience, and all of those coming to Christ. See what he said. Verse 3. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That's very straightforward, right? So nobody can confess Jesus except by the Holy Spirit. And with what we've read, all right, this except here, meaning we can put some words here, except is being convicted. except it's been persuaded. Can we put that there? All right, because we've read it. John said it will convince, it will persuade, all right, it will provide the evidences. So we may preach, pastor may preach, you may hear the gospel, you must have heard it somewhere. But then that flip where you make that decision, all right, was done by the Holy Spirit. All right, that persuasion. That's what we do. That's why all we do is to bring out the word. We provide the evidence or the evidences, all right? So if you are making up your mind, if you are sitting hearing God's word, if you are loving Jesus, if you are worshiping him like we've taught ourselves in time past, if you honor him, if you revere him, if you serve him, it's because the Holy Spirit is persuading you to do so, all right? Now, all right? So and if he persuades you, we know where that spirit dwells. It is with the believer. It is in the believer. The Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, they indwell the believer. All right. So now we've been talking about the indwelling of the Spirit of God. All right, and that happens at salvation. The Holy Spirit persuades the man, persuades the woman, and at that very point of persuasion, all right, he occupies, he abides, indwells the believer. And we've read, it is forever, it's not temporal, hallelujah. I want us to read some more scriptures in that light. I've got some more. Just so that, I wrote 1, 2, 3, 4, some, so we can know about the Spirit of God. Now let's read some more. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Let's read. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Don't forget, we are not yet in the topic of being filled with the Spirit. We are just still presenting evidences that, hey, believers, they are already indwelled by the Spirit. That's the point we are trying to see. And we've seen it that, and we're going to make some clarifications just now. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Look at this again. Please, can we read this together? Paul was talking to the church in Corinth, you know, with they've got some issues and, you know, and all. But see what Paul told them. Can we go 1, 2, go? Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? So when he says that our body is the temple of the Spirit, does he suggest to us that the Holy Spirit indwells us? Can we quickly agree on that? We're just seeing things, scriptures, different scriptures confirming the same truth about the fact that the believer is already indwelled by the Spirit of God. Let's read some more, hallelujah. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 to 7. Titus chapter 3. Whether we attend to the Spirit of God within us, whether we are aware or not, now that's another thing. But what we are reading here now is that, hey, everyone that has confessed Jesus, that I believe that Jesus died and he was buried and he rose again, that man, all right, didn't say that on his own accord. He said it by the Spirit of God. No one talking about God, Bible says, caused Jesus accursed. That's what we're reading here. Now, looks too worded. Let's do two verses. So let's do 4 to 5. Thank you, sir. Now, but when the kindness, look at it. Paul writing to Titus, his son in the ministry, all right, and was writing about what God did, about salvation and all, okay? So when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, towards man appeared, all right? So see how he describes salvation. He calls it the kindness of God, the love of God, all right, our Savior, all right, appeared towards man. Now, he says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Pay attention now, because that's the point I want us to read. How did God save us? How were we saved? Now, let's read it. Now, let's read it again. You're going to see this word and here, all right? It's another chi, okay? Now, look at it. It says, through the washing of regeneration. Stop. So it means that he regenerated us by washing us, all right? Yeah, he regenerated us by washing us. Now, look at it. He clarified what he meant by washing of regeneration. He clarified. He says, and renewing of the Spirit. All right? So what he meant by washing of regeneration, he calls it renewing of. So it means that the Holy Spirit revived, renewed us at salvation. Again, look at the character there. You see all of this character about salvation, about, you know, coming to, about being washed, all right, by water, that is the Spirit. You will notice that there are no two personalities. Who is doing that? It is the Spirit of God. And at that point, when the Spirit of God is doing that, that Spirit indwells the believer forever. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just one more scripture on that point. I've got several, but I said intentionally, we're just going to read a lot about them so you know that, hey, the believer, maybe we should read verse 6. Let's read verse 6 and 7 because I whom he poured out. Ha ha ha. So he talked about that Holy Spirit. Don't forget, let's lose verse 5. All right. Whom he poured, so that's the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. All right. So see what Paul said there. It says, God poured out the Spirit of God on us abundantly. Now, when you see again, let's detail these things more out. When you see through Jesus Christ our Savior, what that means is that it is through the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus, not just through Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus Christ was here on earth in his 33 years or so, he didn't give the Spirit at the time. All right. So what he's saying, Jesus did it, but in reading this, through Jesus Christ our Savior, all right, through what Jesus did to save us, the Spirit of God has been poured upon us abundantly. Can we agree on that quickly? One more scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 8 and verse 8 to 11. Maybe we do 2 again so that it's not 2 worded. Romans chapter 8 and 9, then 10 and 11. Romans chapter 8. Look at it. Praise God. Thank you. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. All right? We explain that better next time. That verse 8. But, look, see what he's saying? Again, don't forget he's writing to believers in Romans, or in Rome rather, okay? But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Please, can we say together, I am not in the flesh. I am in the Spirit. Please, one more time. I am not in the flesh. I am in the Spirit. Now, Paul was telling the church in Rome that, hey, God is not pleased with people that are in flesh. God, now, again, let me put out, God is not pleased with unbelievers. All right? There's nothing they can do that pleases God. All right? Now, but he's saying that you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God indwells you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. KJV says he's not of his. All right? He's not his. All right? So, again, it tells us that the Spirit of God is the identity, is the emblem, is the seal. Let's conclude. Every believer, all right, has got the Spirit of God. Now, with this couple of points, can we agree that every believer has the Spirit of God? Any doubt about that? No doubt, no question. All right, it's so clear. All right, he says that we are in the Spirit. The Spirit is in us. If anybody does not have that Spirit, all right, he is not of his. He doesn't have the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. All right, So every believer is indwelt by the Spirit of God, all right? So what we have read so far is what we call the indwelling. We said it, all right? Everybody is indwelt by the Spirit of God. The indwelling of the Spirit happened at new birth. It is internal. It is salvation. It is salvific, meaning it is the saving grace. It happens the same time. The day you began to breathe, that was the same time, that was that day you have life. All right? So I've heard, why are we emphasizing this? Because we've had, you know, different stuff about, you need to be born again, then you will wait to receive the Holy Spirit, then they call it the second work of grace, then another thing. No, there's no other thing. All right. Now, the believer may need to grow in knowledge. That's all we're taught. All right. That we should grow in knowledge. But the very day, the very moment a believer receives Christ, confess Christ, that day, that moment, he becomes of God. God lays a claim of over him. Hallelujah. Now, pay attention. Let's just, all right. So, you may not see any physical sign. That's why it's difficult to know who is born again. You may not know. You may not see it because you wouldn't know, all right? But then we are getting to some point. So not necessarily accompanied by outward physical appearance, all right? Because it's a believing. Bible says with the heart a man believes. So how do I know what you are believing in your heart? All right? Yesterday during our talk about evangelism and preaching, we said we just present the gospel. Well, when someone says that, well, I'm a Catholic, I'm a believer, I'm this, and you want to ask them, what do you believe? What is that faith? Because they must be able to tell you, all right? I believe, well, yeah, it gives an understanding, a fair understanding of what they believe and where they're coming from, all right? Knowing what our faith or the Christian faith is. Hallelujah, all right? So the indwelling of the Spirit is within, all right? The life of God, all right, imparted to the believer. I'll tell that again. The indwelling is the Spirit within. Like we've read, in the Spirit abiding, all right? The temple of God, the Spirit of God abiding with us. So the indwelling of the Spirit, all right, is what we call the Spirit within, because we're going to use this term, indwelling of the Spirit, infilling of the Spirit. We are not yet there, all right? But then we know the Spirit within, the Spirit upon. We're going to talk about those terms, use them interchangeably in this series, all right? So the indwelling of the Spirit is, again, what we call the Spirit within, the life of God imparted to the believer. This is what makes us new creation. After new birth, we've read it earlier, so I can begin to make my point now. The Spirit comes within. The believer becomes a new creation. We read it in Titus. The believer is regenerated by the watching of the Spirit of God. All right? The life of God is implanted in that person. I was thinking about this during the week. All right? How best to present this? You know, not everybody that has life is hardworking. All right? There are some lazy people. There are some hardworking people. But it's the same life. The life of the hardworking man is not different from the life of the lazy man. All right? So what has happened to the hardworking man, he has just exercised himself. All right? But then because the man is lazy, quote and unquote, all right, you can't say he doesn't have life. All that needs to happen to that man is to train himself, or is to exert himself, or is to just be responsible. Right? Just to get some things done, or just to start learning some things, just to, apply himself in a particular direction. All right? And we said it many times that all of us, we have muscles, but not all of us are muscular. All right? So it's a personal responsibility, all right, to be muscular. But then, that you have muscles or not, we didn't do anything to have muscles. We were born with it. All right? So that's the Spirit of God. That's the indwelling ability of the Spirit of God within the believer. Hallelujah. We've read it now. So there's no believer that will say, it's not me. I can't do it. No, you've not just been exercising yourself. If you have confessed Jesus Christ, all right, you can flow in the things of the Spirit. You can walk in the things of the Holy Ghost. Now, I took time. We have plethora, but I just took time to deliberately read those scriptures so that we can know. That's the starting point, all right? Because we are going to move from the indwelling of the Spirit of God to the infilling of the Spirit of God. Because Paul now told us, believers, that they are taught over 2 years, that they should be filled with the Spirit. He's not talking about the indwelling of the Spirit. So there's definitely a difference, all right, between the indwelling and the infilling of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. All right? So, the Spirit is within. This is salvation. And I wrote something there that I taught to read. All right? This indwelling may not produce dramatic outward sign. How do you know that? So maybe because it's breathing, all right? But you may not see any sign physically, all right? May not be physically visible, but it is real. It is permanent. It is forever. This indwelling makes you a son. Let me just jump ahead, all right, and come back because we are not yet there. But the infilling makes you a servant. We are not yet there because we need to drive there and make that conclusion together. But this indwelling makes you a son of God, makes you belong to God forever. Bible talks about this we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. We've been sealed. There's an approval of God of the Spirit. And when did that happen? It's not later. We didn't start breathing later. We didn't start building. No, we received that life of God, that Spirit of God, that eternal life. We're going to get there, okay? And see that eternal life actually is the Spirit of God in a man. We get there in the course of this study. Praise God. All right? So God puts that in the man already. But then Paul did not stop at salvation. We've clarified all of those. Paul did not stop at salvation, all right? But it's because he still tells the believer to be filled with the Spirit. Which brings us to something else that we want to start talking about. So can we say that we're just starting our series now, our topic now? So let's start another. That's a joke, actually. But then, we've created that premises to know that we are not asking you to have another spirit, all right? And we're going to clarify what that means, talking about the infilling of the Spirit of God. So let's look at, so when Paul tells the church in Ephesus to be filled with the Spirit, all right, this implies a continuous action. We're going to read some scriptures now. A continuous action. This is not salvation. This is not salvation. This is empowerment. All right? All through the book of Acts, you will see believers who were already saved, yet they were being filled again and again. What does this infilling, what does it mean? All right. Time may not permit us today to open it up, but we're going to open it up definitely in this series. Hallelujah. Let's see references of the scriptures where people were filled with the Spirit. Again, what you will notice is that you will not notice God filling them with the Spirit. You will notice that they themselves were filled with the Spirit. All right? Like it's giving the church in Ephesus, be filled, telling you be filled with the Spirit. All right? It's an instruction. So you will see, it's not that God filled him with the Spirit. Now, filling, indwelling, we are separating them now, all right? Indwelling every believer. All right? Everyone that has confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior all over, anywhere in the world, has that Spirit of God there. It may be dormant. It may be there just plateaued, doing nothing, all right? Just there, all right? I'm breathing and waiting to meet Jesus, praise God. That man is saved. He's never going to go to hell. Oh, he's not going to go to hell. Hallelujah. What makes people go to hell is the rejection of the gospel. Now, what we do with this gospel preaching is at least let's give them oxygen. We can start teaching them later that we don't do that in church. In church, we do this. In church, we do that. This is how we come. We can do that later on. But everyone that has believed, the critical mission for us is to at least rescue some, bring them on board, give them life, let them be able to tilt their mind and receive Jesus Christ. They cannot begin to grow in that grace like we are all doing now. All right? We cannot begin to tell them be filled with the Spirit. Let's see some references about being filled with the Spirit. Should we start with this Acts chapter 2:1? Let's start with it. I won't talk too much about it. We'll just read it and move on. Because Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Acts chapter 2. I'm not used to typing my stuff out. I like to write it. I think I'm just old school like that. I'll resume back to my writing it. Praise God. All right. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Yeah, thank you. We are together now. Thank you very much. You take it 2:2. So when the day of Pentecost had fully come, please, with this, with all that we've explained, you will read it. You will definitely need to reread this chapter. You will need to rethink it. All right? I said I was not going to talk about it now, but it's okay. When the day of the Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house and where they were sitting. Verse 3 and 4. 3 and 4. Look at it. So the Spirit had come, had filled the room. All right. Okay. When then there appeared to them divided tongues As again, please look at it. It's divided tongues as of fire, not fire, but that tongue looks like a fire, all right? And sat upon each every one of them, all right? Now look at it, verse 4, where we're going. And they were all filled. All right? From all that we've said, we've not talked much about the Spirit, but we are going to read in other places, you will get to know that this infilling of the Spirit is the responsibility of the 120 that were present. It's not just automatic. It's not mechanical. It's not, it won't just come on you. Hallelujah. We're going to read that today. Maybe I should have kept this later on, but we've read it anyway. So they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began. Again, look at it. It's a function of their will. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them. So the infilling is it's personal. Hallelujah. Let's read more scriptures. Acts chapter 4. Let's talk about Peter again. Acts chapter 4, verse 5 to 8. Acts chapter 4. I mean, let's assume that was the day of the Pentecost, right? Let's assume that's the very first introduction to the things of the Spirit and all. All right. So, but then you will see what we are reading here. Let's again, don't forget, there's a way people talk. All right, this infilling of the Spirit, this filled with the Spirit, you will get to know that it's used more by Luke and by Paul. All right, John did not necessarily use that term. Praise God. We'll come back to that. Okay, now, and it came to pass on the next day. Now, this is what the story here is. John and Peter, they've gone to the beautiful gate to heal the lame man, the authorities of the days, they've arrested them that they should not preach again in Jesus' name, and all of those. Praise God. All right, now that's what is happening here. That's the story here. And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest were gathered at Jerusalem. Verse 7 and 8. 7 and 8. Thank you. And when they had set them in the midst, that's Paul, John and Peter, they asked them, by what power or by what name have you done this? Now look at it. They were being interrogated. Now look at it. Pay attention. Look at verse 8 again. Then Peter, KJV says, being filled with the Spirit. All right? Notice, God did not fill him. Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, he said. All right? Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, he said. Now, notice that. All right? So are we saying Peter is being filled again? Is he a fresh filling of the Spirit? Is he another Spirit that is coming? Maybe the Spirit of God is coming again upon Peter? Not necessarily. We're going to clarify that term next week because we don't have all the time today. All right? Now, verse 23 to 31. So let's take it 2-2 again of that same chapter, Acts chapter 4. Okay. Now, so what has happened here in this? So we saw Peter being filled with the Spirit. He's been told not to preach again in the name of Jesus Christ. But you notice that he was filled. Pay attention, friends. Now, again, at the end of the day, they let them go. They went to their friends to pray. Oh, this will begin to paint some instruction, some clarity to us. All right. Now, because being filled with the Spirit cannot be different in the same teaching or narrative. All right? Look at it. And being let go, they went to their own companies and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they had that, they raised their voice to God. All right? Now look at what they did. So there was something here, paint it better. All right, because the activities here will lead to them being filled with the Spirit. And we're going to come there. All right, verse 24. So when they had that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God. You made heaven and earth and all. Okay, verse 25 and 26. Okay, they began to pray and all. Verse 20. So all they were saying here, they were praying, they were exhorting God and all. 27 and 28. They continued to pray. All right? 27 and 28. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod, Pontius, and all right, they were gathered to do whatever they want and all. 29 and 30. Again, they continue. Now, notice what will precede what we're going to read in verse 31. All right? What is going to precede, we're going to read verse 31, will be they were praying. They were, you know, they've been threatened not to preach about Jesus again and all and all and all. All right? They came to their own. They began to pray. They began to pray. All right? In other words, 31. Thank you. Pay attention, friends. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled, gathered, was shaken. What happened to them again? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So notice, the Holy Spirit is not coming to them for the first time. Now, what led us to all of this conversation? Paul told us in Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit. Meaning we can be filled with the Spirit. We are saying it is different from the indwelling of the Spirit. Okay? We're going to get to the details later on, okay? Because we may not get to the point today. But the point is that, see, they did something and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. Let's just read some more quickly. Let's read about Peter. Acts 13:9. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, okay, again, don't think that Paul is his unbeliever name. Sorry, Saul is unbeliever named Paul. No, Paul is just the Greek version. All right, Saul is the Hebrew name. All right, just like, do you know that James is the Greek name of Jacob? All right, that James, the book of James that we read. All right, if you have a Yoruba Bible, all right, it is called. It's not called James. All right, yeah, because that's just the name. All right, so let's quickly digress. And so don't, you know, I've had that again. So when God called you, he will change your name. You see some ignorance in good suits, but that's not what he's saying. Okay, he's not changing. It's just like, I tell from, my name is Joy. That's because the meaning of my name is Ayo, and it means joy. So there's no time. Okay, so then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Spirit. Look at him. All right? So we can see people, even though they are born again, they are believers, all right, they are being filled with the Spirit of God. Now, Acts chapter number six, we are wrapping up shortly. We're just going to... It's our introduction to this topic, and I want to be able to build, all right? Because by the time we begin to make that demand, you know, encourage ourselves to obey that instruction in Ephesians chapter 5, we want to know where that is coming from, okay? Did I say Acts chapter 6, verse 1-6? If you notice, we are reading some long chapters so that we can just get the context well, all right? Now, I will skip. But let's get this. Let's do the narrative. So at this point here, the church was growing, all right? And it happened that, you know, certain women in church were not getting food. It's about food. Food can cause some problem at times, but it's okay. It's all right. All right? And it got to the disciples and all. Now, they said, they now summoned themselves, the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples and said to them, it's not desirable, it doesn't make sense for us to now start sharing biscuit and stuff and leave prayers and leave the teaching of the word and all. So verse 3 and 4, all right, that's what is happening here. 3 and 4. Okay, look at it. Pay attention, friends, because we want to look at this. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of reputation. Look at that word there, full of the Spirit. So it means that when someone is full of the Spirit, you will see it. All right? Otherwise, how do you want to know that he is full? So look up. So it means there are signs, there are things that accompany the infilling of the Spirit. All right? Because it says men that are full of the Holy Spirit or of the Holy Ghost. All right? He gave other criteria. And oh, I just want to point that out. All right? That when we see it. We're getting there. All right? As we go today. So therefore, let me just run quickly now. All right? So these were not first-time experiences. They were empowerment. These were empowerment for ministry. Boldness, utterances, visible effectiveness in the ministry. This is what we call the infilling of the Spirit or the Spirit upon. We're going to clarify that term in a clearer way later on. Okay? So they were not being saved again. No. All right? They were just being empowered. All right? We're going to see another way Paul used that. When he says that when a man prays in the Holy Spirit or when a man prays in another tongue, Bible says he edifies himself. All right? Maybe we are jumping. We're going to see how that comes together. Praise God. All right? So the Spirit within gives life, makes us sons of God. The Spirit upon or the infilling gives us the power of gives us power for ministry. The indwelling is for identity. All right? The infilling is for ministry. Praise God. So, let's just put it together, and I'll make two more quick points, and we'll wrap up for today. We cannot conclude today, but I want to believe we've made some point already, made some progress already in this being filled with the Spirit of God. Now, this teaching is to protect us from two errors. Number one, to think that salvation alone guarantees spiritual effectiveness. I've been saved, and that's all that I need to do. All right? Well, that's all that you need to do in that you are being saved. But for effectiveness, for growth, salvation is not enough. Indwelling is not enough. That's what we're getting to in this point. All right? Just to correct that, I'm saved. All that I need to do is just to cross my leg. Just, no. All right? We cannot think that salvation alone. Now, notice what I'm saying. Salvation alone secures our eternity. But when it comes to spiritual effectiveness, something more is required. All right? We need to act on that life that you have, that you already have. You need to build those muscles that you already have. You need to breathe in and do something with the life in our nostrils. Hallelujah. We need to do that. All right? So we want to clarify that. You can be saved and not be effective. You can be saved, all right, and not be effective, and not just take things seriously. Hallelujah. All right, that's want to clarify that one error. Now another error is to think that the Spirit comes and it goes. It doesn't come and go. The indwelling is permanent, but the infilling is repeatable. Hallelujah. What then do we have to do quickly? All right, it is our responsibility. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, as we wrap up today, finally. I just want us to land. So what do we do, all right, about the things of the Spirit of God? Galatians chapter 5. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So again, you see another instruction there that we should walk in the Spirit. It is our personal responsibility. All right? You will see other. So when it comes to the Spirit of God that we've received, we're going to read others next week. You will see clear instructions that we should covet it, that we should tear it up, that we should fan it to flame, that you should do something about it. Hallelujah. Here he's saying that the same thing, the same instruction, be filled, walk in the Spirit. All right? So it is up to you and I to walk in the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. It is up to us. It is up to us. So the call today is not a call to be born again. It's the call to take up the life that we have. Do something about it. Walk in that Spirit. Fulfill that life. All right. Walk in that life that we already have. Hallelujah. He says you should walk. Continue. Do something about it. Hallelujah. Please don't let me find someone left and right. Tell him, walk in the Spirit. Tell him, neglect not the Spirit. Tell him, desire the things of the Spirit. Tell him for the last time, we need all of this to be effective in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Have we been blessed at all? Does that clarify thoughts to us a little bit? We continue next week from there. Praise God.